The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Comcast, Verizon, and Miller Lite. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome into PNC Studio at Hallis Hall, and welcome into the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. I'm Jeff Joniak with you until 7:30 tonight. Good evening. How you doing?
Doing all right, Jeff.
Like your shirt, navy blue and orange, buddy.
Thank you.
Matches,
team colors.
Matches team colors. Those are hard to find, I'd imagine. I like it. It looks good, though. Anyway, what didn't look good, obviously, was the ninth loss yesterday. Admittedly, after the game, you said it was a difficult time. A difficult time for you to even stand before your men and have the looks in their eyes and what you tried to sell them after the game on how to explain this and where to go and all that business that is very difficult this time of year.
Yeah, I think, you know, immediately after a loss like that, obviously that's very difficult. You know, and we've been involved in a few of those. You know, I think since Mitchell started game five, you know, every one of those have been one possession games except for the Philly game. And every team has one of those throughout a season. It is difficult. You know, our margin for error is not great. And, again, it came down to four or five plays or, you know, if they go a different way. It was that kind of game.
And if you're a player sitting in a room like today and hearing that repeatedly, when you say, you know, we haven't figured out how to close out yet, we haven't made those plays, how do you get them to learn then how to make those plays? How do they become convinced, yeah, we can make those plays?
Well, I think, you know, they look at it on tape. You know, they see it. I mean, we had four penalties on the day. You know, that's not an exorbitant number of penalties. Our opponent had twice as many. But two of those penalties took back a huge punt return. That could have been points. We've had difficulty scoring points. You know, and another one was a screen pass to Tariq that came back for a holding penalty, you know, that took away probably a 28-yard gain. You know,
that's 100 yards right there.
Exactly. We don't do enough to overcome that, and so we have to eliminate that. And that's kind of where we are, and our guys see it, and they'll continue to work.
Speaking of the offense, right now, you know, you got to call it an inability to actually put a lot of points on the board offensively. Yesterday, one offensive touchdown. When you look back at yesterday's tape, do you see things that do point to development offensively or that should be executed but are not?
Well, I think, you know, you can find those plays, and I think, you know, every team in the league can do that. You know, one of the bright spots I thought was, you know, the game that Tariq Cohen had. You know, same thing with Mitch Trubisky as far as, you know, he had 117 quarterback rating, which not too many rookie quarterbacks do that. Unfortunately, the other team had the ball a lot, and we didn't have the ball enough. It was 72-37. That's a big differential as far as plays, and you know, that was a big part of the game.
Yeah, hard to I don't recall, you know, 37 plays. You can't do much with that, honestly.
It was almost
a whole quarter of time of possession given that.
It was similar to the Carolina game, you know, in a win we had here, where we scored two defensive touchdowns and did not score an offensive touchdown.
So the way he was playing, do you extrapolate a little bit and think, okay, he could have had a big game? I mean, at times, those guys were playing three rookies in their secondary. He just didn't have the ball enough. He only had 100 yards of passing. So could you extrapolate? Could have been a big game.
Yeah, I think, you know, a couple more conversions. You know, again, a lot of times it works both ways. You know, you can extend those drives, converting, you know, a lot on third down. And I think we had six possessions, which, you know, it's tough to get a lot of plays with six possessions.
These are difficult questions to ask because you're projecting by – you're not in their heads. You can look in their eyes, but are they prepared mentally right now to your satisfaction each and every week? It's one thing to be physically and be fired up, but are they mentally ready to play?
Well, I think they are. You know, they're working very hard. You know, we're just very young, and we've got new guys. I mean, you know, our leading receiver got here a month ago, you know, Dontrell Inman. So it's, you know, again, those aren't excuses. That's reality. And, you know, they're working very hard. It's not a lack of effort. I think you see that on the field. You know, and that's why in these five losses, you know, four of those five were one possession games.
Is it harder to coach when you're trying to keep everyone's focus, when the losses do start stacking up, as opposed to wins start stacking, losses start. I know you're supposed to forget what happens and move on, but does it get harder to coach, especially in the midst of all the criticism and stuff like that?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think, you know, a lot of these guys kind of drown out the outside noise. And I think, you know, that's part of being a professional athlete, regardless of the sport. But, you know, obviously you gain more confidence, you know, if you've won five in a row versus losing five in a row. You know, I think that's, you know, human nature. But, you know, these guys are continuing to work, you know, no matter what.
In terms of the pass rush, you brought it up today. It hasn't quite been there. Is it a domino effect a little bit here, again, on a reality of the situation because of the outside linebacker pass rushing position? You really think about it now. Willie Young, Leonard Floyd, Pernell McPhee, injury yesterday. Those are your top three outside pass rushers on the team, not there. Did it trickle down to the guys trying to even get the interior pass rush?
Well, I think, you know, again, it's what it is. Nobody comes rescues you. It's next man up. You continue. I think, you know, Lamar Houston just got here, all right, on Thursday, all right, and played 68 snaps of the 72. So, you know, that's
and
just
Brzezinski.
What it is. Yeah.
Brzezinski.
Yes.
Same deal.
Yeah. And, you know, that's NFL football. It happens. And, like I said, nobody comes rescues you.
You got a new kicker again. Mike Nugent, that's official. The Bears have placed Cairo Santos on injured reserve. I didn't hear what happened, but was this something that happened during the course of the week or did it flare up in pregame for Santos? I never got a chance to ask.
It actually happened in pregame, you know, getting ready for the game. And I came out, you know, typically pretty early, right after the specialists first come out. And, you know, they had taken him back in after a few kicks and they were going to evaluate him. And, you know, he was able to kick the extra point, you know, after our first score. And, you know, that was kind of what they determined.
Well, you plan for everything, so you always have a plan B. You have to. But are you sitting there coming out of the pregame warm-up thinking, I mean, come on, really? Another?
Well, Pat O'Donnell did an outstanding job, you know, as far as kickoffs. And then the situation just didn't present itself, you know, for us to attempt another field goal.
I know, but are you thinking, I mean, how much else could go wrong? I mean, do you not... I mean, you're only human.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, stuff like that does happen. I've seen it happen before.
All right. John Fox with us here. One segment down on our Bears Coaches Show.
Snap and no pressure. Here's the boot with it. Very high, far side of the field. Cohen catches cleanly. Now he's going to want to run wide and give up 10, 15 yards. He's circling back up the seam. Left, and there he goes. Tariq Cohen is gone, baby. 20, 15, 10. Touchdown, Bears!
Tariq Cohen, exhilarating run to daylight. And there was a lot of it because he created it. He went forwards, backwards, left, and right, and the true definition of the human joystick. I've tried to stay away from that term because it was created by somebody else. I feel like I'm stealing. So I like when he called himself Big Daddy back at rookie minicamp. So I go with Big Daddy, but that was something else. And as I'm calling the game, I'm sure, much like a fan or a coach, like, what are you doing? What are you doing going that far back? And I'm like, okay, this is not going to be good. And then it just opens up like the Red Sea, and there you go. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, no doubt. He was, you know, even on my headset, it was, no, no, no. I said, I think you're going to like it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because originally that was the side that return was set up, but he started the wrong way by accident, figured it out, all right, and then hit the wall.
Oh, there's only a few in this world that are capable of correcting their own mistakes with that kind of athleticism.
He had a big day. I think, you know, you saw that return, the return that got called back, you know, for the block in the back. And then even on offense, you know, he made some key conversions and some key catches.
And Tariq, by the way, is our Xfinity Player of the Game, brought to you by Xfinity. To that point, they gave him enough cushion. I wouldn't say a lot of cushion, but enough cushion that he could catch a quick pass and make something happen. Patient behind his blocks on that screen that was taken away. And Mitchell Trubisky said it after the game. Got to still keep trying to find ways to get him the football.
No doubt. You know, he's you know, explosive player. You can see that in the return game. And, you know, you've seen it, you know, at times on offense. And, you know, we need to continue to do that.
Strategy, late in the game.
Right.
It's something that we've heard, we've seen in different times and places in football, but the 49ers, once they converted that third down, allowing a touchdown versus letting them bleed the clock for that game-winning attempt. And as you indicated, well, we had a good block attempt potentially. And Robbie did have a 29-yarder blocked by the Eagles this year, one of his two misses, Robbie Gould. Did you entertain it? Do you entertain that thought? What's the thinking behind it? And, you know, Tom's attitude was, you know what, I'm never one to just give up a touchdown, even in that game. But talk strategy about it. Did it cross your mind?
Yeah, well, you always talk about it because you have so much analytics in the game today. You know, the probabilities under 1%, you know, whether the field goal attempt or letting them score and, you know, answering with a touchdown. You know, I've been in this league 28 years, been primarily a defensive coach. I've never seen letting them score work. And I'm really, I would challenge anybody to see if it ever has in professional football. But I can tell you in my 28 years that I've never seen it work, never attempted it as a with a team I'm on, and I've never seen it work. I've seen people try it, but I've never seen it work. Whereas, you know, we've blocked an extra point when the extra point was kicked from the two-yard line, or, you know, that was the line of scrimmage to win a game.
And those are, correct me if I'm wrong, a little easier because of the proximity, right? You can the rise of the kick.
Well, I just, you know, I mean, again, I like to listen to all the talking heads and the experts, but like I said, in 28 years, I've never seen that work.
If you were to do that, and as a defensive coach and a tough coach like yourself, tough-minded coach, you got that kind of mentality, what would it tell your defense?
Well, it's not so much the psychology of it. First of all, you know, there's people that might even coach against the guy scoring. I mean, even if you do let him score, lay down at the one. But to be honest with you, like I said, I've seen extra points blocked to win or lose a game. I've seen playoff games won or lost with a very short field goal attempt. Either the hold's botched or you block it or the guy just straight misses it. But I've never seen anybody let somebody score and win the game.
Honestly, in football analytics, I've always been taught, you know, if you hold a team to 17 or less, you're pretty much going to win the game.
Yeah, I think, you know, those are, you know, just kind of the scores and what's, you know, that's the, what statistics say. But, you know, all these things are a little bit different, you know, as far as, you know, like I said earlier in the season, we won a game at home against Carolina and didn't score an offensive touchdown, scored twice on defense.
Aside from the obvious and the losses, what are you most disappointed in based on what you thought this team could become way back to that first training camp press conference in Bourbonnais?
Well, I think, you know, really just the record. You know, I think since Mitchell started that Minnesota game to start the second quarter, you know, basically the number of close losses, which are five. I mean, we had one game that, you know, we didn't play as well in Philadelphia. But, you know, every one of those games has been a one-possession game going back to New Orleans. And that's the disappointment is not the guy's effort, but our record.
Which leads to, like, the Bengals tonight. They're 5-6. They're playing the Steelers tonight. You're going to play the Bengals next week. Just read this stat, so they're pumping the fact that they're 5-6 and they're still in the playoff hunt because 12 of the last 13 years a 5-6 team made the playoffs, which must add to your frustration because those five losses, you win three or four of them or even a couple of them, you're still in a conversation.
Well, I mean, that's really kind of what our league is. Everybody's set up to be 8-8, and then really the difference between 10-6 and 6-10 is winning your close games.
That's John Fox. One more segment to go here on the Bears.
Trubisky takes the snap. They rush four, stands in the pocket, delivers the post pattern, touchdown catch. Dontrell Inman, touchdown, touchdown Bears. They've got the lead 6-3 on the Niners here in the first.
Yeah, Mitchell Trubisky firing that post pattern touchdown to Dontrell Inman. Here with John Fox on the Bears Coaches Show. You can help deserving families by donating a winter coat for the Chicago Bears Jewel Osco Coat Drive at participating Jewel Osco locations. Donations benefit the Salvation Army and are accepted until January 1st. Those post patterns, the slants, the in cuts, my opinion, watching it, that's where Mitchell really thrives right now. I mean, he sets and throws with some heat on it. And do you agree that between the hash marks, these throws, especially now with a guy with size and length that you would have had with a guy like Kevin White and Cam, he's good at those right now.
No doubt. I think his accuracy yesterday was as good as it's been all season. I think he made some good throws. He had some tight windows. A few of those balls were, very, very tight windows, and he dropped dimes in there. So, I thought Mitch had a good day. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough plays for him.
A couple more things about yesterday's game before we look at the Bengals. One, playing Chris Brzezinski, getting in. He had some workouts, but he hadn't played since. That's odd, obviously. It doesn't happen often. Sometimes you have emergency guys like that are veterans, but it must be comforting to know that you had a couple of guys out there that you could stick right in there and play defense. I mean, they didn't allow a touchdown. So.
Yeah, I think, both, Chris and Lamar Houston coming back, had a couple of days of practice. They fit right in. I think with Pernell McPhee going down in the game, Lamar got more plays than we even anticipated. But, both those guys got 60-plus plays. And, like I said, wasn't perfect, but, we did not allow a touchdown.
Point of emphasis, no question, will be third down defense, right, in the passing game. Because, man, that was tough. That was tough yesterday. That's what killed you.
That was a big difference, and we kind of had the similar situation a little bit the week before, in Philly. So it's something that we've got to work on, and we've got to make sure we mix up how to get a little bit more pass rush, because that's, the 4-7 ratio on third down is really kind of grades where you are, and we've had to bring an extra guy to create some pressure, which exposes you a little bit coverage wise. So we just got to go back to the drawing board and get ready for Cincinnati.
Much like you said last week on this show, it was a five-game season, basically, trying to get to 8-8. That's out of the question now, but there's still a quarter of the season left. So much work to be done, and begins with Cincinnati on the road. I think you believe in these guys, that they will stay committed to the cause. You have no reason to believe otherwise, do you?
No, I mean, they haven't varied from that all year. I think... we've competed, been in many games. Unfortunately, only won three. But like I mentioned, from the fifth game on, when Mitch went in after the 1-3 start, we've been one possession away in every game but Philadelphia, and I don't expect it to be any different moving forward. Just like to find ways to win those games.
Well, they're going to play the Steelers tonight, but what are we looking at? I mean, the top names, obviously, on that defensive front seven stick out. Obviously, Geno Atkins. They got a young rookie, Lawson, that's leading all rookies in sacks. He's got seven as a rotational defensive end. Is that where their strength lies right now? And, of course, A.J. Green, rather, on the other side of the ball, and a veteran quarterback to deal with.
Yeah, I think, they've been running the ball a little bit better recently. They've had their struggles offensively on the season. Defensively, they rank in the top 10 in many areas. On the road, we're going to have to eliminate those four or five plays, or at least make them, go in our direction, and it'll be much the same going there.
Crazy to think how long Marvin Lewis has been in his job, and that's an example of sticking with a veteran coach through some dips, and that team had been competitive for many years, making a run in the playoffs. In the way he does it over there in Cincinnati, is an example of, not everybody has to make a quick decision at that
point. Yeah, I think Marvin's, done a great job. He's with an organization that, is old school in their thinking of how they do things. And, they've had a good run. Marvin's had a good run. I've known Marvin for a long time, and he's an excellent football coach.
One last thing, I want to bring it up, because Kyle Fuller yesterday was playing quite aggressive, adding the ball, but again, in the run game. Cutting people down, the physicality he's bringing at the cornerback position. And he's had a couple games where it wasn't so hot, but for the most part, probably his best season in his career.
Yeah, I thought his interception that led to our one touchdown, offensively, I thought was a great play. He did have some tight coverage, and he has been playing very physical in the run game, or even tackling in the pass game. So, I've liked what he's done over the last couple weeks, and really look for him to flourish here these next four games.
All right, John, thanks as always for your time.
All right, thank you, Jeff.
That's Bears head coach John Fox. We'll continue with the coaches show with Brandon Staley, the Bears outside linebackers coach, coming up.
Here's the play fake, another bootleg, this time being chased and eaten up, and down he goes. Lamar Houston back inside the 49er 15-yard line. Houston just drove right through him, kept his feet moving and on the ground on the bootleg.
And a Lamar Houston welcome home. He played a lot of snaps yesterday in the loss to the 49ers, got himself a sack, and the Bears will move on to the Cincinnati Bengals. Coming up on 7:04 here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, and this is the Bears Coaches Show. Welcome into PNC Studios at Hallis Home. We welcome in For the first time in the Bears Coaches Show, Brandon Staley, who is in his first year as outside linebackers coach. Good to have you. How crazy is that to have Lamar available, obviously, because the Houston Texans moved on from him, but he had five games, had some production there on that very good defense down in Houston. But a guy that you could just put in there a couple days after you sign him and then play the whole game, basically, at outside linebacker.
We're extremely fortunate to have Lamar back, you know, in a situation like that. He gets, you know, on a midnight flight on a Wednesday, and he's at practice on a Thursday, and, you know, and then he's ready to play, you know, 68 snaps on Sunday. And we were very fortunate that he's been here, someone with his experience and having an experience in our system, you know, for 3 years, and just really proud of the way that he played, the way that he represented the Bears, and, you know, really gave our team a lift in preparation. When he came back, everybody was excited to see him. You know, magnetic guy, and just really proud of the way he played on Sunday.
You needed him.
Needed him.
Pernell went down.
Yeah.
I mean, thin already.
Right.
So did he anticipate playing that much? Did you anticipate him playing that much?
Didn't anticipate him playing 68. You know, we had a good game plan for, you know, Sam, Pernell, and Lamar to kind of share the load. But we were actually going to try and ease him into the game. And when Pernell went down that seventh snap, that plan was out the window. And but the great thing about Lamar is he's a guy that takes incredible care of his body. And I think that's something that showed up in the game, is that he played a lot, but, you know, he didn't really get tired, you know. And I thought that was just a big credit to him, the way he keeps himself in shape.
Is it like riding a bike when you leave a scheme and come back within the same calendar year, or had much changed? Did the any language change, signals, anything like that change that he had to adapt to quickly?
Well, I think that
even on the fly during the game.
Yeah, I think that you know, just subtle things, you know, between when he was gone and when he came back. But the recall that he had within the defense was tremendous, and those 2 years spent in our scheme with Vic was such a big help, you know. And I think that what, you know, I tried to do from, you know, when he got here Thursday morning to Sunday morning was just, you know, make it as second nature as possible. And all he needed was a few quick reminders. But we worked at it pretty hard now from Thursday to Sunday. And he just really poured his heart into it those 4 days. And, you know, obviously played a really good game.
And in that instance, is it your responsibility then, obviously, to, in the term, in the cliche, is coach him up? Do you spend more time with him then? When you say you worked hard, even after hours, making sure he was on point.
Yep. You know, before meetings, you know, in the morning, we get a little extra session. After, you know, the afternoon meetings, a little extra session. And then, you know, just text him back and forth at night, you know, some things, you know, that were specific to the plan. Because, you know, part of the prep was getting him caught up back in our scheme, you know, understanding what we do. And then also getting him caught up on, you know, our opponent, San Francisco. So there was kind of, you know, two things that we really needed to catch him up, because he got there, you know, more than halfway past, you know, game prep. You know, he missed, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So there were two things that he really needed to get caught up on. And, you know, fortunate for me and fortunate for us, you know, he had Sam Acho and Pernell, guys that he's very close with, and those guys did a tremendous job.
Well, the other thing is, too, he's had to want to do that. I mean, because
for sure.
He got claimed and so forth, but, you know, it's late in the season. You don't know where a guy's head's at that point.
Yeah, you know, I think
that's credit to him.
Credit to Lamar, the type of person that he is, the type of competitor he is. He's really a magnetic guy. People, you know, really respond to him. When he came back, you know, my father used to say, if you weren't at work, would you be missed? You know, and, you know, when Lamar came back, there were a bunch of happy people to see him. And I think that it lifted him up, you know, in many ways, too, and inspired him to play well, because, you know, guys were pulling hard for him. So and he wanted to play well for the guys that were out, you know, Willie, you know, Leonard. Those guys are, you know, two guys that mean a lot to him, and, you know, he wanted to play well.
But a three-step drop, pressure coming on the blitz. Christian Jones brings down Jimmy Garoppolo. Down he goes, the sack. Loss of four, the second one today.
That is Christian Jones, his second sack of the year. Bears got some good work done by the inside linebackers, too, Brandon, as Christian Jones, Nick Kwiatkowski, and the return of Danny Trevathan. There were several plays where they had some clean looks, no contact, boom, coming downhill with a head of steam and making some plays. I know you're focused on the outside linebackers, but you're a defensive assistant, so you know you can talk about this stuff too. And those guys combined for, like, I think it was 27 tackles, those three guys.
Well, I think that Danny being back in the lineup was such a huge lift to our team. You know, before he got injured, he was playing as good a football as any inside linebacker in the NFL, and he's the type of guy that really elevates the performance of everybody around him. And, you know, I think that Christian and Nick both play better when Danny's in the game, you know, and just all
these. Is it a settling influence?
Sure.
In addition to his inspirational aspect, the intangible?
Yeah, I think both, you know, and I think that he's, you know, he'll give that little extra reminder before the snap to those guys and just allows them to play more freely, more confidently. And, you know, we're lucky. Those three guys have played a lot of winning football for us, and, you know, they're definitely complementary type players. You know, Danny can really run. Christian, you know, is big, he's long, he's instinctive. And then Nick, you know, he's kind of that bulldog in the middle. So, you know, an inside linebacker, it's great to have three guys like that that can both, you know, that can all play winning football for you.
Vic likes packages.
Yes.
So it does help.
Absolutely.
You know, having rotations and different types of ideas in the package game, even when there's running guys on and off the field, except for Aaron Rodgers when he's trying to quick snap you, then you're in trouble. You can't do that as often. But with that being said, you're a young coach. You've had a ton of experience at various levels, but working with a coordinator who has been around a long time, excelling with linebackers early in his career. What's it been like? And I know you've been asked this before probably 100 times, but someone like Vic Fangio to teach you this game in a different way.
That was one of the most attractive things about this job, was to be able to work alongside someone like Vic with his experience, you know, not just as a coordinator, but as a position coach and somebody that, you know, has coached some of the very best players at that position in the history of the game, you know, dating back to New Orleans and, you know, guys like Kevin Green, Alden Smith. You know, he's just had so many good players on the edge, and just the defensive players that he's coached throughout his career, you know.
You can look at the secondaries of in his career.
For sure.
You know, I always felt that the secondary was in good hands, because John Fox was a secondary coach. Ed Donatell is the secondary coach. Vic Fangio had really some great defensive backs that blossomed in San Francisco in his most recent vintage. So that's a lot of experience that these guys could draw on.
Yeah, the thing that I was really excited about with Vic is that, you know, he's the type of, you know, coordinator that really fits his scheme to his players, you know. And you come to the NFL and you hear a lot about systems. You know, and sometimes those systems don't work if they don't have the right players. And I think that Vic's system is extremely flexible. It's extremely multiple. And at the same time, he's really specific in game planning. And so, you know, a lot of the guys that I knew in the NFL told me that, hey, you're not going to be around anybody better than Vic. And so for this to be my first opportunity in the NFL to be with someone like him, and like you mentioned, to be with Foxy, who is such a tremendous defensive coordinator in this league, a DB guy, and a guy like Ed, who's been a 2-time defensive coordinator in this league. Being around a guy like Jay Rogers, who's one of the best position coaches, I think, in the NFL. You know, it's been a blessing, and, you know, it's been a lot of fun for me.
Yesterday was weird from this standpoint. If you just strip it down to the bare wood, 15 points allowed, if you're a defense, you know, and you don't let them score a touchdown, that's a big day. That's a good day for a defense. But the time of possession thing kind of ruined the whole equation a little bit. Third down in particular. Even as a defensive coach down on the sideline, are you just pulling your hair out?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that was frustrating about, you know, third down was we felt like we had some good stuff up, you know, and I felt like, you know, we were close on several of those third downs, you know, and you know, those guys, you know, you have to give credit to San Francisco, you know, their quarterback played a good game and, you know, made a couple tight throws, you know, where we were contested, but, you know, they were able to finish them. And you know, but the thing that we did a great job of the whole game was just hanging in there. You know, we didn't let some of those third down conversions lead to touchdowns. And, you know, Vic has always had a great red area plan. I think, you know, it's really specific. It's really detailed. And I thought that, you know, the way we played in the red area, you know, is a great compliment to our guys, you know, because those guys really toughened up, tightened up, you know, and we were able to hold them to 3. And that gave us some momentum, you know, when you can take away a touchdown down there.
The CEO of the football team, week to week, is the head coach, John Fox. But at the grassroots level, the assistants in the rooms, to try and help to keep a team optimistic and looking forward and not dwell on 9 losses, how hard has that been? Is it difficult? Or are you guys commissioned in a certain way to be the psychologists of this situation, so to speak?
I think, you know, it's always challenging anytime that you put in that much time, that much work, and, you know, and on Sunday it doesn't go your way. But I think that the unique thing about a football building is that everybody in a football building is a competitor, you know, and I think that's something that brings you together. And I think as a coach, when your players know that you're just as competitive as they are, you know, I think that's a great start in a relationship. But I think in every position room, it's your responsibility to have great relationships with your players. And I think the closer you are with your players, the more you can get out of them in difficult times. And, you know, we've had our share the last couple weeks, you know, and but I think that you've seen our guys compete at a really high level each and every week. And I think that's a testament to the relationships that we have with our guys.
One more segment of the Coach Daily as we continue on the Bears Coaches Show here from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Who are two guys in a Pro Bowler? Spice Adams and Alex Brown wish they were the Pro Bowler, but that would be Lance Briggs. They all get together weekly for the most hilarious Bears podcast out there, and they do bring some football knowledge, too. You can get it on iTunes and the official Bears app. Two guys and a Pro Bowler is brought to you by with Bears outside linebackers coach Brandon Staley, an Ohio guy, grew up in Ohio, and many people have in this building. But your coaching experience covers 11 years at the collegiate level. Quickly, just what you talked about in the break, John Carroll. Not a lot of people know John Carroll outside of Cleveland has a lot of NFL roots. So does Miami of Ohio in this building, and so does Dayton, where you played quarterback, as I come to learn. How did it help you be a linebackers coach?
Well, I think when you see the game through the eyes of the quarterback, you ultimately make your group better because he's the guy in the game that commands, you know, all 22 guys on the field. And I think when you get your defensive players to think the way a quarterback does, they're going to be able to play a lot faster, a lot more confidently. And I think, you know, your challenge as a defensive coach is to get your guys to understand how offenses work. You know, what does this formation mean? What does this motion mean? Situationally, what's this guy thinking? And I think once your players start to understand how a quarterback operates, it can be a real advantage. It can be a big advantage.
And in your college experience, you had experience as a coordinator. Obviously, you were the National Coordinator of the Year in Division III at John Carroll. Have you coordinated any offense?
Only in the backyard. only in the backyard. But, you know, my background as a quarterback has been one of the biggest blessings for me as a defensive coach. And, you know, seeing the game both ways and understanding, you know, how protections work and how the run games work, how, pass concepts work. What does this personnel grouping mean? I think that's, you know, been a big blessing for me in my defensive career.
What is the influence of John Carroll football-wise? It's extraordinary.
It's really remarkable. There are three general managers in the NFL right now that went to John Carroll, played football at John Carroll. Nick Caserio with the Patriots, Tom Telesco with the Chargers, David Caldwell with the Jaguars. But, you know, the Polians, Bill Polian sent his sons Chris and Brian there. You've got London Fletcher, Don Shula, obviously being the most famous alum, you know, the winningest coach in NFL history. The head coach I work for, Tom Arth, who's now the head coach at University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. He played in the NFL with the Colts. And then you've got Greg Roman, Josh McDaniels. There's seven people in the New England organization alone that have played football at John Carroll. So we kind of joke that, you know, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick get a lot of the credit, but John Carroll should be third right behind them. So
fascinating conversation, linking it all together. That's the beauty of football. Brandon, thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks so much for having me.
Appreciate it. Earlier tonight with head coach John Fox on a tough post-game discussion with his guys.
You know, immediately after a loss like that, obviously that's very difficult. And we've been involved in a few of those. You know, I think since Mitchell started game five, you know, every one of those have been one possession games, except for the Philly game. And every team has one of those throughout a season. It is difficult. You know, our margin for error is not great. And again, it came down to four or five plays, or, you know, if they go a different way. It was that kind of game.
And if you're a player sitting in a room like today and hearing that repeatedly, when you say, you know, we haven't figured out how to close out yet, we haven't made those plays, how do you get them to learn then how to make those plays? How do they become convinced, yeah, we can make those plays?
Well, I think, you know, they look at it on tape. You know, they see it. I mean, we had four penalties on the day. You know, that's not an exorbitant number of penalties. Our opponent had twice as many. But two of those penalties took back a huge punt return that could have been points. We've had difficulty scoring points. And another one was a screen pass to Tariq that came back for a holding penalty, that took away probably a 28-yard gain. You know,
that's 100 yards right there.
Exactly. We don't do enough to overcome that, and so we have to eliminate that. And that's kind of where we are, and our guys see it, and they'll continue to work.
Speaking of the offense and the Right now, you know, you got to call it an inability to actually put a lot of points on the board offensively. Yesterday, one offensive touchdown. When you look back at yesterday's tape, do you see things that do point to development offensively or that should be executed but are not?
Well, I think, you know, you can find those plays, and I think, you know, every team in the league can do that. You know, one of the bright spots I thought was, you know, the game that Tariq Cohen had. You know, same thing with Mitch Trubisky. As far as, you know, he had 117 quarterback rating, which not too many rookie quarterbacks do that. Unfortunately, the other team had the ball a lot, and we didn't have the ball enough. It was 72 to 37. That's a big differential as far as plays, and, you know, that was a big part of the game.
Yeah, hard to, I don't recall, you know, 37 plays. You can't do much with that, honestly. Well, it's almost a whole quarter of time of possession given that.
It was similar to the Carolina game, you know, in a win we had here, where we scored two defensive touchdowns and did not score an offensive touchdown.
So the way he was playing, do you extrapolate a little bit and think, okay, he could have had a big game? I mean, at times those guys were playing three rookies in their secondary. He just didn't have the ball enough. He only had 100 yards of passing. So could you extrapolate? Could have been a big game.
Yeah, I think, you know, with a couple more conversions, you know, again, a lot of times it works both ways. You know, you can extend those drives, converting, you know, a lot on third down. And I think we had six possessions, which, you know, it's tough to get a lot of plays with six possessions.
These are difficult questions to ask because you're projecting by, you know, you're not in their heads. You can look in their eyes, but are they prepared mentally right now to your satisfaction each and every week? It's one thing to be physically and be fired up, but are they mentally ready to play?
Well, I think they are. You know, they're working very hard. You know, we're just very young, and we've got new guys. I mean, you know, our leading receiver got here a month ago, you know, Dontrell Inman. So it's, you know, again, those aren't excuses. That's reality. And, you know, they're working very hard. It's not a lack of effort. I think you see that on the field. You know, and that's why in these five losses, you know, four of those five were one possession games.
Is it harder to coach when you're trying to keep everyone's focus when the losses do start stacking up as opposed to wins start stacking, losses start? I know you're supposed to forget what happens and move on, but does it get harder to coach, especially in the midst of all the criticism and stuff like that?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think, you know, a lot of these guys kind of drown out the outside noise. And I think, you know, that's part of being a professional athlete.
That is Bears head coach John Fox. That's going to wrap up our Bears Coaches Show here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. For Coach Fox, our producer Dan Borelli, our defensive assistant Brandon Staley, and Andy Gershwin and Keith Johnson, I'm Jeff Joniak. It's Bears-Bengals Sunday from Cincinnati, 9 a.m. pregame and a noon kickoff. Thank you very much for listening tonight. That'll do it from Hallis Hall on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.